Hi, and welcome to the podcast. The Friday intro is there for you on a Friday, April 5th. Hey, this is going to be mostly you today, okay? Because you have not said a word on this podcast for weeks. So it's you're going to dump it all out today.
Hold on to your hats, folks.
It's going to be Alex Palooza. Actually, only till 3 o'clock because then I have to get a winner. Did you see any snow flurries today? Because I did.
I did, yes.
Okay, all right. So I'm not that crazy. So we had snow flurries. There was an earthquake out east, and there's an eclipse.
Did your fam feel the earthquake?
Tracy said she felt it. Paul said he didn't feel a thing.
I saw a video, like somebody's camera footage from inside their house, like their Ring camera footage or something, and it like really shook that house.
So in 2010 or so, when I was working in Allentown, I was in an earthquake, and I'm sorry if I told you the story before. Our building was like, I don't know, 6 floors, and it was shaking, and it took me a second, but I realized, for someone who's never been in an earthquake before, I realized quite quickly, this was an earthquake.
Yep.
Where I was was not going to be able to get out of the building. So what did I do? Ran to the window. So
I don't recall when's the last time I felt one.
It happened here. Kate, didn't we have one somewhere in Michigan within the last, or in this, we had one in the region within the last year, and many people felt it.
Yeah, I did not.
What did I want to run by? Oh, okay. So earthquake, snow in April, eclipse. If the moon doesn't move from in front of the sun on Monday, I'm gonna say I called it because there's like a lot of weird shit going on right now.
You think so?
I mean, there's an earthquake. It snowed.
Dogs acting strange?
No stranger than normal.
Mine are acting strange, and I know a couple other people where their dogs are acting really strange too.
Why?
I don't know. I say I have my reasons, and it's Sunny. It's not Pete. Pete is never act strange, like ever. Knock on wood. I don't think it's connected to anything. But since you were mentioning,
one of my very favorite things amid all of the eclipse mania has been, don't worry about your pets. They don't normally look at the sun anyway. And I added the part of, because they're not stupid like people.
Well, one, yes. Two, don't most pets like sleep during the day? Like my dogs nap during the day. Like they really nap all the time. Like most dogs are just, when they're not playing with you or actively doing stuff, they're napping. So the likelihood of my two little babies like in the bedroom sleeping is very high.
Right. Yeah, no, you're right. You're right.
They're gonna sleep right through it.
What would you like to begin with?
I don't know. I miss the show. I miss our daily talk, like our talks. You know, I know it's a podcast and lots of people listen, but it really is just our talks. Like I don't know if I have any topic in particular to discuss. I think like my life is just kind of shifted and it's hard for me to find time for much of anything. In fact, I have a text message that I have to return of someone like, hey, haven't heard from you. Like, everything okay? You know what I mean? So it's just where I'm at. And I appreciate those that do send the text messages, and it's just make it easy peasy. And, you know, it's just a busy season.
Let me throw at you, give me your overall thoughts on the eclipse, your interest level, your excitement.
Oh, I'm so excited. I've been excited for years. Like this has been, I mean, I saw this years ago where they said, hey, 2020, I find it funny that we're already here. Cause I feel like it was something like 3 years ago where they said, hey, this is happening in 2024. And I remember like, dang, we have 3 years until we get to see this. So I like took the day, I had scheduled this day off in the fall. I'm all for it. I like to, like Thomas and I sometimes have a date night where we go to that Toledo group, the Toledo like astronomy club, and go to the one of the parks they're at night and look through the telescopes and talk to the folks and learn stuff.
You invited me to that before.
I think I did. Well, just you and I, because it's, I really enjoy it. I think it's fun. I think it's something very cool in our city that not a lot of people know we have. And you get to see some cool stuff. Like, you just do. And it's, I think it sounds, some people probably are like, oh, that's for kids. But you, it, like, the people that have these telescopes, like, they're 10 and 20, if not more, thousands of dollars. And you get to look through them and see all of this stuff that you wouldn't ordinarily see. And the folks have so much knowledge and history. So anyway, I just gave them a big plug, but I love stuff like this. So I'm super excited. And obviously, who better to share it with than Colin and Andrew, because I love them with every fiber of my being and want to be with them on this day.
So you're looking at it as a very sentimental, emotional few moments.
I don't know if it's emotional, like, if excited is the emotion. Like, I, of course it's fascinating. Like, of course it's a huge deal. It's really just the moon going over the sun, right? Like, the moon is going in front of the sun, but it's just exciting to be there, to see this, to go to darkness for a few minutes, to feel different, if that makes any sense. It's like, the best way I could describe it is, you know, when you were a kid and you were doing something that you don't ordinarily do, so it was automatically more exciting. Mm-hmm. Like, Halloween was always so exciting because everybody was out after dark. Like, you didn't have to be in the house. Everybody's out walking around. Like, you see what I'm saying? It's one of those things. Like, when the power went out decades ago and the streetlights never came on and the parents just didn't give a shit at that point, and we got to play outside until like midnight. It's like that kind of thing.
I'm with you. I've shifted over. I will likely appreciate the cosmic nature of what's happening when it begins. Until then, I am very excited to people watch.
Oh yes, that too. I can't wait to see how the response. Like, that's the other part. I think Thomas and I agreed we were going to leave our house at like 10:30 or 11 to get to my brother's house, just to, like, I'm not saying that the traffic is going to be gridlocked, but I'm excited to see the pickup. Like, I'm excited to drive along 75 and see all the cars on the side, like on those side streets. Like, I imagine past Levis, you know, that part of 75, which is very rural, and you're seeing a lot of cornfields and all of that. I'm sure those side streets are going to be lined with cars. I can't wait to see that.
I want to see if there's any chaos that comes out of it, or the extreme cosmic nature of what's happening that only happens like literally once in a lifetime. If people will, like, literally, and I know this sounds so pie in the sky, Pollyanna-ish, but I hope people will, like, put their differences aside and look up and see what's happening. And granted, it's only our solar system.
Right.
If it will give them a moment to recognize, like, how deeply insignificant they are. So if someone curses you out on Facebook, instead of it ruining your afternoon, just let it go and, like, look around. I know there are several places that are saying, they're encouraging people to not take pictures of the eclipse for a variety of reasons, but watch it and, like, take pictures of people that you're with. Like, that's why I brought up the sentimentality of it. This is, again, like, as you've illustrated, once in a lifetime experience. So get pictures with people that you care about, because NASA will give you plenty of pictures of the nature of the event.
That's a great idea. And not only that, like, we're all sharing in the same experience at the same time.
Right.
All of us. I totally agree with you that there's, like, something communal about it. There's an opportunity there. You could go to TikTok and watch clips of, like, the eclipse that there was another one that happened a couple years ago, obviously the one we've all been referencing, and other parts of the country had more totality than we did. And you could watch the clips of listening to the crowd all start to cheer as it was happening and hearing how excited everybody was. I'm very much looking forward to it, but it wouldn't be me. And I'm curious where your mind has gone. It would not be me, she who loves, like, national disaster movies, if I didn't have a national disaster thought or two. And I have a coworker who's going to watch in Port Clinton, And I was like, oh my God, do you remember that scene in Deep Impact when the father-daughter were on the beach?
Yeah, as I have been thinking about that as a thousand percent. That was also Deep Impact. God, I forget the kid who is in Lord of the Rings.
Elijah Wood.
When him and the girl are running up the mountain.
Yes, with the baby because they got married. You mean him and his wife? Yeah.
This is why I'm totally cool. Like, if after all the cheering, some scientist in the group of wherever we are goes, it should have moved away from the sun by now. And I'd be like, yes, let's do it.
And then that would, part of me just, like, the only part that makes me sad is that I won't be with you. Because I know you're having, like, a party. And I know, you know what I mean? You've got your stuff. And we've got our stuff. And I'm like, besides my husband and my nephews, like, I would be with Eric 100% on this day. But the other scene that I remember from a national disaster movie, which I thought was underrated, Gerard Butler's Greenland movie. I remember the scene where the NASA and the news networks had been reporting for quite some time that there was going to be like a meteor shower that was going to come into our atmosphere. And so it was on the news and people were like watching it while they were at a barbecue. And then like a massive meteor hit Florida, I think it was, and like eviscerated it. And it was very clear that like what was being reported was nowhere near accurate, and was that intentional or not. And so that's the I thought that was so clever because they showed the U.S. because we're obviously U.S. movies. So from the perspective of the U.S., they showed like our citizens like all sitting around watching the coverage because we were all anticipating that a meteor was going to hit in the Atlantic. And in fact, it did, but it was like a million times larger than they said it was. And all these folks like died, and then national disaster happens. So, you know, I had the thought, I'm like, what if that happens? Like, what if it's not what they said it was?
I'm totally cool with that. I've had a good run. I'm ready to go.
I love my life.
I want to ask you about something I know that we'll have a good conversation about. But first, mm-hmm. I want to run by you another disaster movie. The Day After Tomorrow.
Oh, so good. Love The Day After Tomorrow.
One of my favorite scenes is when, like, the oh shit nature of it is all, like, settling in. And wherever they were, they were somewhere, like, up near the Arctic. Or somewhere in like the northern hemisphere, and the temperature dropped like 100 degrees, and the helicopter froze in the sky.
Mm-hmm.
Love that.
Yeah, the like when the ocean liner like froze. Is somehow like floating past the New York Library.
Yeah,
like, you know, it just that was actually a really good that in 2012. Came out like around the same within years of each other. And when was the golden age of like national disaster movies? Like World War Z was coming out around that time. Like they just don't make them the way they used to.
Right.
Maybe because they've gone through all the scenarios possible. And what I also think is relatively interesting is not that we're having like, not that helicopters are freezing in the sky, not that like, icebergs are breaking, not icebergs. What is it that people
glaciers?
Sit on top of? Glaciers. Not that glaciers are breaking apart and people are falling down them. But I sometimes wonder how many like movie worthy weather events or like global warming level events are happening that is really like a movie, like something you would see in a movie. And it's just, we're so numb to it that it's just like every day for us.
I think you're right. I think there was like from like the late 90s to late aughts. It was like a golden era of disaster, like earth-ending disasters. Or as we learned in Deep Impact, extinction-level events.
like the greats.
we've moved on from natural disasters to one-on-one disasters where we don't need an earth-rocking hurricane to overcome the planet. We're just going to kill each other. So, which will play out whenever Civil War comes out.
Doesn't it come out next week?
Not sure. But there is, you know, we are not completely out of the era of humanity is ending, which leads me to asking you about three-body problem.
Okay. What are you going to ask me? What are my thoughts?
Yeah.
I have not got around to rewatching it. I know we talked about this. It's one of those shows where it's not quite at a high level, but I feel like I didn't catch everything I needed to catch to fully absorb and understand, because I'm still a little confused. Like, there's still some things that are not connecting for me. My main opinion is that I really loved it. It kept me interested. It kept me wanting to keep the TV on, even though I know it was my bedtime and I had to work in the morning. Like, it was one of those shows where I just wanted to keep watching it and keep absorbing it. Mm-hmm. I loved the characters that they chose. I loved the diversity that they had. I loved that it was about scientists. Like, I thought that was so clever. I thought that was so clever of, like, the internal clock, you know, and, like, stop doing your work. I originally, like, my first, obviously these are spoilers, but, like, my first episode or two, the thoughts that I had was, I said, is this finally like the religious folks coming after the scientists because science is getting too far into like God's territory? Like, is this finally that what's happening? But then no, it turned out to be aliens.
As a lot of people said, it put the science back in science fiction.
Yes. Oh, that's great. Yes, it did.
I thought it did a really good job of meshing a lot of genres, like science, science fiction, science fantasy, but also mm-hmm. like there wasn't like straight up rom-com, but it took emotional relationships to a level yes. where it wasn't sobby and it wasn't a rom-com, but it made you interested in all these characters. So and there was humor in it. I really liked it. In fact, it was ideal for me in the sense, like, we like the same kind of shows where we watch it, we talk about it, we read about it, and we want to go back and rewatch it to get a better snapshot of it. Like, I don't want to rewatch this because I feel like it was super, it wasn't so galaxy brain that right. I need to go back. Like, I don't think I missed anything.
See, I feel like I did a little.
What was your favorite part, or like your oh wow moment of the whole show, of the whole series?
Oh, I don't know if I have one. I probably have a couple. So I'll give you a couple. Obviously the internal clock, and when she went to go have a cigarette, this was in the very beginning, like episode 2 maybe, when the attractive scientist, the one doing the nanofibers, when she went to go have a cigarette and the lady went and sat next to her and was like, "So how much longer do you have on your clock?" I said, "Oh my God." And then when the investigator then showed replay the footage and there was nobody in the footage, I was like, oh, something's happening. The sky clicking, when we realized the sky clicking could have been connected to what the old woman was doing back in China decades in 1966, like, just, I was done for. I mean, there was a couple things where I'm like, I just really love this.
I didn't know much about it, but I knew enough to get what was going on in exactly those two things that you talked about. Like, when she wasn't on the camera, I'm like, oh, she's clearly like some kind of acolyte and there's alien technology at play. You mentioned the word, like, it's up there. You didn't watch Invincible, right? The animated?
No.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So there's a scene in there where it's the goriest animation you've ever seen. I'll have to send it to you because I only watched it once and I couldn't believe what I was seeing in animation. Like, this was like 90s Texas Chainsaw Massacre kind mm-hmm. of gore. I am fairly certain.
Oh, yeah, it was.
If we make it past Monday, long into the future, we will be discussing the nanofiber slices up the boat like Swiss cheese scene.
Who thinks of that kind of stuff?
I don't know, but I loved it. Like, I didn't quite grasp what was going on because you couldn't see them, and I know that was the point. But once people started being like sliced up, like they were in a hard-boiled egg slicer, I was like, "Oh, this is gonna be so good."
I mean, that might have been the only part where I was like, they didn't have to show us all of that. They went too far. The poor kids, like, I was just, and why were there so many like kids and families on this boat? Like,
it was a cult.
Was that their way of like saving people that they wanted to reproduce their genetics in the future? Like, those were some of the things where I didn't necessarily like understand. You know what I'm saying? Like the very, you know, the scene where I was talking about the lady asked the scientist how many days she had left on her clock. She mentioned God, like in that conversation. And I was like, okay. And that was why I originally thought that it had something to do with like maybe a religious group of folks, like religious people and not alien worshipers. I don't know. There's some gaps that I have that I feel like I need to put together. So I am going to rewatch it.
I think there is a lot of religious and God and what's the other word I'm looking for? Like higher powers and right. What created the universe,
right.
Like the meshing of was God the Big Bang or whatever it may be. And what can and should you believe in? So I think there's a lot of that. And to me, that was like subtext to a lot of the things that were going on. I have to call bullshit on one thing. And I loved the black actor.
Saul. Yes. Oh, his character was Saul. Yeah.
Yeah. I liked him because he kept like throwing his hands up. He's like, they're 400 years away.
Yeah.
And then there were the other people who were like, we have to save the planet for our descendants and you know, prepare them. I have to call bullshit on the fact that, now, let me get this right. You can put a clock in people's heads. You can have a sonophone or something. And basically, the two balls, you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
Like, you can create these things and get them to basically control anything and listen to anything on Earth. But you're plugging along in your little space tugboat and it's going to take you forever. Like, in Star Trek terms, nobody would buy that. Like, you've got this level of technology and you're plugging along like a snail in space.
And I think that it also suspends, I think we have to suspend the reality that, like, the way that our planet is going, like, why would you want to come here? Like, right. In 400 years, like, we're literally killing it off.
But hold on. That, I think, was part of it. So, if I recall correctly, so the Asian woman, who, by the way, was also a pretty integral Star Trek character, and I hope she had makeup on because I thought she would have aged much better. What?
Nothing.
When she was in the 60s, when she was at that.
Oh, yes, that woman.
Mm-hmm. The aliens answered. She recognized it. And then they said, don't contact us back because we will come there. And then remember, right. she was like, humanity sucks. Like, come take it. I think at some point the aliens noted that their planet was being destroyed and they needed a new place to go. And this woman was offering up Earth to them.
Yes. I mean, yes. But what we know of Earth and, like, you know what I guess the way the doomsday conversation that happens in reality about Earth is like, we're not going to have a planet for our kids and their kids and their kids. And so 400 years away, like, what, our planet's not going to look the same.
Like, are you saying, like, they get here
and
like, let's just say you, like, a lot of people, you bought a house sight unseen because of the way the market is, and you get there,
right, and it's like Chernobyl
and it's like Money Pit.
Yes, literally.
and then the one alien smacks the other alien on the head like Spaceball style and goes, what the hell did you bring us here for?
What's wrong with you, Ed?
Right.
Yes.
I don't really have anything else because I got to get a winner here in a couple of minutes. But do you have anything else on your mind?
No, I don't think so. I have graduated to, and I think this is speaking about global warming. We got some really, really comfortable, fun weather days in February. And so my clock is off because I feel behind. As a homeowner, I'm circling like our 1-year anniversary of getting keys. And I feel like I am late in the game of getting out in my yard and getting it prepped for the season, but it's only early April. Like, when am I going to get out there? Cause I don't want to go this weekend. It's going to be like 50 degrees. It's going to be sunny, but it's still going to be chilly. I want a good 70 degree day, 65 degree day with some sun so I can get out there and clean up all the sticks from the weather that we've had consistent rain and all of that for the last week. And I want to friggin' get my flowers trimmed and prepped and clean up all the dog shit, you know?
It will be 70 on Monday.
Yeah, isn't there a chance of rain? And you know I won't be there. I'll be out and about.
Well, Monday is the eclipse day. It's going to be warm, but last question. It was your third? Fourth? I think it was your fourth opening day. I've lost track. So what did you think?
I had a good time. It was great. You're right in that this was the busiest opening day I have ever seen. And like not everybody I know, but like so many groups of people like were downtown. And so it was like you were just constantly running into group after group after group. It was really nice. It was even better when the sun came over to the good side of the restaurant for us. But shame on me for not dressing appropriately and being more concerned about dressing cute. I thought it was fun. I thought we did well with the show. And it was great. I'm happy to be in baseball season now. Yeah. And can we also talk about it? And I know you have to end. Why am I have yet to go into Facebook and like publicly thank everyone for wishing me a happy birthday? That's intentional because I said, well, I took too long to, most people do it the next day or the day after, and then I didn't do it. So I'm going to wait. We're going bowling for my birthday this weekend, and I'll take a picture, share it, and then I'll thank everybody. But like, what is this guilt that I have because I haven't individually thanked every single person for telling me happy birthday?
Don't have the guilt. Don't worry about it.
Why do I have that? Like, where did this come from?
You're right. It was quite nutty. I was trying to recall things from the day, and I couldn't. I was drunk, like drunken forgetfulness.
Yeah.
And I couldn't remember things, what people had told me, who I had seen. Did I pack everything up? And I didn't have anything to drink at all. It was just a very long, tiring day and cold as well. But I have literal blackout spots in opening day.
I probably have a couple too. I think what I liked is that, again, later in the day, more people started to arrive. I feel like there's a sweet spot between where RQN was and where we were. Where RQN was very busy. Like, I think some equipment almost got damaged or something like that because of the drunk people around it. And at one point where we were, it was very slow until the weather got warmer, the sun came all the way out, and time moved in the day and more people came. I loved the atmosphere where we were right there on air and there was just people after people after people. The music was playing this time. It was perfect. I felt like it was just perfect for us because, you know, when we were not on air, our music was playing and people got to dance to it and really come around and talk and enjoy themselves. And I think we need to do that every year.
I intend to. And good. You're right. I don't want to, like, if I had the choice, I have said I want to be at Paco's, not Cock and Bull. It's just it's just too raucous over there to do the kind of show.
Yeah.
All right. Have a nice day.
I shall. Good to talk to you. Good to be back.
Bye.
Bye-bye.